second book of Kings, in chapter 4. And our subject for this evening, as we've already announced, God makes much out of little. In other words, little is much when God is in it. And our text for tonight is the verse 43 of 2 Kings 4. And his servitor, that is Elijah's servant, said, "What should I set this before 100 men?" He said again, that is Elisha said again, "Give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof." In Elijah's day, or Elisha's day, the land of Israel was in the grip of dearth and famine. That meant there was a scarcity of food for people to eat. But as we have seen, the Lord provided for his people, and in particular, the sons of the prophets. He gave to them the pottage, a very simple meal, but nevertheless, the Lord supplied their need. And this reminds us that even in most extreme circumstances like famines, the Lord cares for his own. Just as David said, speaking from experience, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Psalm 37, verse 25. And on the same subject, the psalmist again reminds us, "He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry." And it was, as we know, a raven which the Lord used to bring food to his servant Elijah when he spent at least 1 year by the brook Cherith. 1 Kings 17, verses 4 to 6. The Lord supplied Elijah's need in a most remarkable way, when he used a bird that is regarded as a scavenger to bring food to his servant. The Lord looked after his servant. He looked after an individual. And the Lord cares for individuals. Another example of the Lord supplying bread to his servants was when there was a famine in Samaria, as recorded in 1 Kings 18. And there in the opening verses, for in 1 Kings 18, we read there, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria." But then we look at the following two verses. "And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water." There was a famine in Samaria, but the Lord had a man named Obadiah who was in the household of Ahab. And he used Obadiah to supply 100 prophets whom he had hidden with bread and water. See, the Lord met the need of his servants. And I don't think we need any more proof or examples of the Lord's care of his people, even in times of famine, except the example we have before us tonight in these three verses. For just as the sons of the prophets saw, so we will see how God makes much out of little. When God is in it, then little is much. We see that tonight, and we begin by considering the supply of food. The supply of food. The sons of the prophets had already partaken of a pot of pottage and were thankful for it. We know that from verse 41. Now we are told that something a little more substantial by way of food was brought to Elisha, the man of God. Verse 42, and there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn and the husk thereof. And so this man brought to Elisha 20 loaves and also full ears of corn. That was a lot better than the pottage. And first of all, regarding this supply of food, we consider the man. Consider the man. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha. Notice with regard to the man, his place. We're told specifically that he came from Baal Shalisha. The name means Lord of Shalisha. This man came from Baal Shalisha, meaning Lord of Shalisha. The place itself was a center of worship for one of the many Canaanite deities of Baal. It was a center of idol worship. It was a heathen place known for the worship of the false god Baal. Yet it was from there that a man came with food for the man of God. Now, I suppose that would have been the last place that Elisha would have expected anyone to have come from with a gift of food. But then we know that God is a God of surprises. And he will sometimes send help from an unusual source. After being fed by the ravens at the brook Cherith, the Lord sent his servant Elijah to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, to dwell there. And the Lord said, behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. 1 Kings 17, verse 9. And once again, if Elijah had been looking for food, he most certainly would not have gone to the home of a widow woman. The breadwinner of the house was dead, namely her husband. And she had only enough food for herself and her son, and that was it. And yet the Lord told Elijah that this widow woman would sustain Elijah the prophet. And the Lord did sustain his servant. He was well fed, as the Lord not only took care of Elijah, he took care of the woman. And the widow woman had very little, just enough bread for herself and her son. Yet, before Elijah left that home, there was enough food for the servant of God. There was enough food for the woman. There was enough food for the child. And there was enough food for the servants in the house. You see, God makes much out of little. He makes much out of little. The woman had little, but the Lord multiplied it and made much out of little. The Lord hasn't changed. Likewise, the Lord met the need in a way which no doubt Elijah least expected it. The Lord met the need in the home of a widow woman. And here the Lord met the need of Elisha and the sons of the prophet, and he did so in a most unusual way. The food came at the hand of this man. We've noticed the place, notice the person. This individual is simply called a man from Baal Shalisha. No name is given. He was simply an individual whom the Lord used to supply food for the people. As far as this person was concerned, he was an unknown person. The Lord often uses unknowns to fulfill his will and purpose. You recall in the New Testament, and there are many parallels between the feeding of the 100 sons of the prophets and the feeding of 5,000 men, the feeding of the multitude. But you recall when the Lord fed the 5,000 men besides women and children, he received 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes from whom? From a lad. That's all we're told. We're not given the lad's name. Andrew simply said to the Lord, "There is a lad here." And the lad had the 5 barley loaves and he had the 2 fishes and he gave them to the God man. But we're not given the lad's name. An unknown lad, an unknown child used by the Lord as he wrought one of his greatest miracles. This man was unknown. You know, we may never have our name in lights, as it were. Our names may never be in the front page of the local paper. We'll be born and live and die, and only a handful of people will know that we ever existed. But we can be used of the Lord. The Lord uses unknowns. You take time to read through the Gospels and take note of the number of unknowns whom the Lord used to fulfill his purpose and his will. And what the lad gave to the Lord, it was little, but God made it into much. What the man from Baal Shalisha brought was little, but the Lord made it into much. He'll do the same for us. Not only do we have an unknown man, but we have an unusual place. We've already noted that this man came from the place of idol worship, a place of false gods, and yet one of the Lord's own was found there. In Scripture, we find the Lord's own people in places where we may least expect to find them. We've already considered Obadiah, 1 Kings 18. Obadiah was in the house of Ahab. Ahab was an evil man, a hater of truth and a hater of the God of heaven. And he hated Elijah. And yet God had Obadiah there, a man who feared God. And the Lord had him there that he might supply the need of the 100 prophets that were hidden in a cave. Doesn't the Lord do all things well? When you think of it, Obadiah was able to bring the food out of the house of Ahab. Food that would have been given to King Ahab was given also to the 100 prophets. In other words, the 100 prophets ate the king's meat. They were well fed with the king's meat. Lord looks after as well. The Lord looked after his servants at the hand of Obadiah, who lived in the house of Ahab. When writing to the Philippian church, Paul closed his letter to the church with these words: "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." Who would expect to find the saints of God in the house of Caesar? Because this Caesar was none other than the infamous Nero. We know what Nero did. He used to capture Christians, take them out into his garden, tie them to poles, and set them alight to give light in his garden. That's the kind of an evil, depraved individual Nero was. And yet we find Paul saying, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of the household of Caesar," or the household of Nero. And so you see, believer, wherever you may find yourself, wherever you may be employed in this world, the Lord has you there that he can use you to his glory. This unknown man, that's it. It doesn't say there was a group of men or an army of men. It was just one man. And the Lord used one man to supply the need of the sons of the prophets. The Lord used one lad to help supply the need of the multitude. See little as much when God is in it. One little child gave the Lord his loaves and fishes, and the Lord used that to feed the multitude. One man from Baal Shalisha brought some food, and the Lord used what that man gave to feed the 100 sons of prophets. So we have the man, then we have the meal. We are given in detail exactly what the man brought to Elisha. 20 loaves and full ears of corn. When it says there, full ears of corn and the husk thereof, it just simply means he had brought the ears of corn in his garment, his long robe, he would have gathered it up and filled that robe with ears of corn. So this man brought 20 loaves, and there would just be little loaves and full ears of corn. And a detail is given there that we ought to take note of. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley. First fruits. Turn to Leviticus 23. And in Leviticus 23, we're told there something about first fruits. In verse 10, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. So when the Lord granted the people a harvest, the first fruits of the harvest belonged to the Lord. We can see that. Deuteronomy 18. In Deuteronomy 18, and there in verses 4 and 5, the first fruit also of thine corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him, that is the priest. The Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. Namely, the sons of Levi. So we get the picture. The first fruits of the harvest, the first fruits of the land, were taken as an offering to the Lord and given to the priest, whom the Lord had chosen to minister unto the people. Elisha was the Lord's chosen servant. He was his chosen prophet in the land. And so in obedience to the law of God, this man from Baal Shalisha brought the first fruits of his harvest to Elisha. Just as we bring to the Lord the first fruits of our wages in the form of our tithes and offerings, our tithes and our wages, we take the first fruits. The Lord is first. We give the Lord a tenth. We give the Lord the offering. He gets the first fruits. That's the scriptural principle and teaching. And you will notice how the Lord honored this man from Baal Shalisha. What did we read? There was a famine in the land, a dearth in the land, verse 38. And yet this man from Baal Shalisha had a harvest. He had a harvest. In other words, the Lord honored this man because he had given, probably in the past, the first fruits unto the servant of God. While there was a dearth in the land, this man was able to bring of the first fruits 20 loaves and barley and full ears of corn to the man of God. There wouldn't have been much of a harvest anywhere else in the land. But then, little as much when God is in it. God is able to multiply the little things, make them into much. We see from this that the Lord is no man's debtor. We're all familiar with those words of the Savior in Luke chapter 6. But in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, we read, "Give." Sometimes in quoting this verse, we leave that part out. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give to the Lord and he will give unto you. Good measure. He'll not shortchange us. Good measure. He'll give us more. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Remember a man saying, a man who was saved just around about the same time as I was and became good friends. And I remember him saying to me one day, he says, "You know, we just give to the Lord." He says, "We just shovel it out to him. And he shovels it back again. The only difference is the Lord has a bigger shovel." That's a good way of putting it. Little as much when God is in it. We do our best in our giving to the Lord, and sometimes we may feel it's too little. But we give to the Lord what we can. And if in our eyes it's little, the Lord is able to make little into much. That's what happened here. We have then not only the man and the meal, but the message. When the man brought his gift to Elisha, the message from the prophet to this his servant was, "Give unto the people that they may eat." That was the message. Verse 42. Note, since it was Elisha who spoke these words, it shows us that the man brought the food, but nothing is recorded of anything that he said. There you have, regarding the message, there you have his silence. The man from Baal Shalisha brought the food, but he didn't say anything. Certainly there's nothing recorded. For this man, he didn't need to say anything. His actions spoke for him. In other words, his actions spoke louder than words. Again, we think of the lad and the feeding of the 5,000. The lad didn't say anything either. Nothing is recorded of anything the lad said. He simply brought the loaves and the fishes to Christ, gave them to him, and said not a word. The man from Baal Shalisha brought the loaves and the corn to Elisha, said nothing. His actions spoke for him. Some people like to blow their own trumpets about what they have done, but not the lad nor the man from Baal Shalisha. He didn't brag. He didn't boast. He simply brought the food and gave it to the man of God. His silence and his support. This man came from that place called Baal Shalisha. And where was Elisha? He was in Gilgal. We noted last week what Gilgal speaks to us of. Speaks to us of separation. It was there that the Lord rolled away the reproach of Egypt from the Israelites. And so it was an indication that they had been separated from Egypt, a house of bondage. And so the man of Baal Shalisha came from there and he came to Gilgal. And he gave the food unto Elisha to give to the sons of the prophets. Now, here's an interesting fact. That to go from Baal Shalisha to Gilgal, he had to pass by Bethel. And what was significant about Bethel? Well, Bethel, of course, we know the name means house of God, but unfortunately, it was no longer a true house of God. It had turned to the worship of idols. You can read that in 1 Kings 12, verses 29 to 33. It had turned to the worship of idols. We read there in verse 28 of 1 Kings 12, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. That was contrary to the law of God. The Levites were the priests. And he appointed men of the lowest form. Made them priests, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made, and he offered upon the altar. There was a bit of a reformation after that, but the calves were not removed. And the man from Baal Shalisha passed by Bethel. He had come from a place of idol worship, and he passed by another place of idol worship, and he came to the place of separation. And he gave to Elisha the food. In other words, this man was going to support the faithful servant of God who was faithful to the Lord and had taken up a place of separation. See how the Lord honored Elisha for his separation, how the Lord honored Elisha for his faithfulness to God. Even though the nation itself was steeped in apostasy, yet one man supported a faithful prophet like Elisha. You know, although idolatry and apostasy were flourishing in that land as they flourish in this land today, we thank God. While they may be few in number, there are still those who support the man who takes the stand on separation. They will not go to the houses of apostasy. They will not give their money to apostate ministers. They will not give their money to compromisers. They will give their support to a church that takes a separated stand. And it was just one man, and he brought 20 loaves, which in itself was not enough to feed 100 men. But, as we've already said, little is much when God is in it. God multiplies the little things. And he multiplied the 20 loaves. He gave the increase so that all 100 sons of the prophets were fed. Let's never doubt the Lord. The Lord will meet the need. He makes much out of little. We come now in the second place to the surprise about the food. Notice the response of Elisha's servant when he saw what the man had brought. He wasn't very grateful, really. He was rather surprised because he said, "What? Should I set this before 100 men?" In other words, he was saying, there's not enough here to feed 100 men. 20 small loaves, what is that? And so he said, "What? Should I set this before 100 men?" And there, as far as the servant was concerned, there was a problem. The problem in the eyes of the servant was that 20 small barley loaves would never be enough to feed 100 men. Even though Elisha's servant had seen Elisha increase the oil for the widow, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Even though Elisha's servant had seen how miraculously he had increased the Shunammite's family by giving her a son, chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, by the miraculous working of God. Even though Elisha's servant had seen him raise that son again from the dead, and even though Elisha's servant had seen how he had purified the pottage, yet Elijah's servant did not believe that the same man who had wrought all these miracles under God could multiply the bread. Couldn't see that. And there we have the parallel again between this incident and the feeding of the multitude. For in John chapter 6, the Lord told Philip and the other disciples to feed the multitude. And of course, for them there was the problem. We don't have enough. 200 penny worth of bread will not be enough even to give this multitude a little. Then along came the lad. And it's surprising, because Philip and the other disciples had been with the Lord, that sat under his ministry, that followed him, that seen him work many, many, many miracles. Yet they never thought, our Lord can multiply the loaves and the fishes. Our Lord can make little into much. They never thought of it. Just as Elisha's servant never thought that under God Elisha could multiply the 20 loaves so there'd be enough for everybody to eat. Don't we forget that too? You know, we can talk about what God has done in the past, But when it comes to the present, we think to ourselves, oh, what are we going to do? We have a problem. But let us always remember that God is able to make much out of little. As he did here, and as he did in the feeding of the 5,000 men. So we have then, as far as Elisha's servant was concerned, a problem. And then we have the precept. Because here, Elisha speaks. He repeated the words he already spoken. He said in verse 43, give the people that they may eat. He already said that. Give the people that they may eat. No matter what the servant said or thought or the problem that he could see, Elisha ignored it. And said again, give the people that they may eat. The servant saw 20 loaves and 100 men. 100 into 20 doesn't go. There was the problem. But that's not how Elisha saw it. Elisha knew that God could make 100 go into 20. Elisha knew the Lord could multiply the food so that all men could eat. Isn't that what he says? Give the people that they may eat. He didn't say give the people that some of them may eat or they may get a little. No, he said give the people that they may eat. Elisha believed that God would increase the loaves so that every man would eat. So the moment the bread was distributed, the moment the servant took the bread and began to distribute it among the 100 sons of the prophets, that's when God began to multiply the food. As the servant gave it out, the food was multiplied. So whenever Elisha said to his servant, give the people that they may eat, this servant was expected to take this step of faith. Well, if Elisha says, I can't see how it's going to feed all the people, but if he says so, I'll do it. He had to take a step of faith. Because Elisha had told him, thus saith the Lord. So the moment the bread was distributed, the bread was multiplied. Remember what the Lord said to Moses as he and the children of Israel stood at the Red Sea? There was nowhere to go. There was nowhere to go. Pharaoh's armies were behind, mountains on either side, a great stretch of water before. And the Lord said to Moses, say unto the people that they go forward. But there was a great stretch of water. The Red Sea is in front of them. But the Lord said, go forward. And the moment Moses and others stepped into that sea, the waters divided. They had to take the step of faith. While they stood there, the waters would not divide. But once they stepped forward, tell the people that they go forward. And once they went forward, the waters divided. And so it was here. So it was with the widow woman of Zarephath, as we've already seen. She had nothing left. And Elijah said to her, make me a cake first. Make me a meal first. And then make for thyself and thy son. Do you notice what Elijah said? Elisha says, make me a meal first. That meant in ordinary circumstances there was nothing left for the woman or the child or anybody else. But yet Elijah says, make me a little cake first and then make for thyself and thy son. In other words, Elisha knew that the little that the widow woman of Zarephath gave to him, there would be enough for Elijah, and there would be enough for her, and there would be enough for her son, and there would be enough for the household. She took the step of faith, and the Lord honored it, and the Lord multiplied the food in the house. She had enough meal and oil to make bread for as long as it was needed. Little is much when God is in it. You notice not only the problem and the precept, but the promise. Elisha was a prophet of the Lord who believed God. Elisha was positive and sure that the God of Israel would take the 20 loaves and multiply them. That's why he said, give the people that they may eat. Give to all 100 sons of the prophets that they may eat. And then he went on to say, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat. Verse 43. The Lord said, they shall eat. Elisha took the Lord at his word. If God said 100 men would eat, then 100 men would eat. Elisha was like Abraham, for it is written of Abraham in Romans 4, verse 3, Abraham believed God. That's what Elisha did. Abraham believed God. And we read again in Romans 4, and this time verse 20. Moreover, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Elisha was the same. God had promised, he was able also to perform. If the Lord told me, Elisha says, to give to the people and they shall eat, then I believe God. I believe he'll multiply this food enough for every man to eat. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Don't we believe that? God gives the increase. He's able to make much out of little. And finally, you have the satisfaction with the food. Elisha, having told his servant, give the people that they may eat, his servant did so. So he set it before them. First of all, they partook of the food. The bread having been set before 100 men, we are told, and they did eat. So each man of the 100 partook of the food. Look at the wording there. Verse 43. Give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat. Verse 44. He set it before them, and they did eat. That they may eat, that they shall eat, and they did eat. The one follows the other. They did eat. The Lord did multiply the food. The Lord did give the increase. little as much when God is in it. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Praise the Lord. There's also the plenty of food. Not only did they partake, but there was plenty of food. Look again at the wording. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. The word thereof is in italics. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave. Now you think by looking at those words that they would eat and then they would just leave and go about their business. That's not what it means. What the word leave there means, they shall eat and shall have some left over. That's what it means. They shall have some left over. Little is much. Little is much. God is able to make much out of little. 20 loaves, according to Elisha's servant, was enough to feed 100 men. But Elisha says, give the people that they may eat. And glory to God, they did eat. So much so that they had some food left over. What is it? Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, as we read in Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits, there it is, of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He'll give us more. He'll give us much more, because he's the God makes much out of little. And you have that they partook of the food, there was plenty of food, and then you have the provider of the food. Because we read in verse 44, so he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Let us not be so distrustful of the Lord. Let us always trust him, because he's the Lord who makes much out of little. He's the one who gives the increase. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving and gracious Father, we rejoice that we have in thee such a wonderful God, who makes much out of little. O Lord, we thank thee that thou art the one who gives the increase. And as thou hast said, give and it shall be given unto thee. Good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over. Lord, fill our cups, we pray, until they overflow. Thanking again for this day and thy blessing and answers to prayer. Lord, again write this word upon hearts. May we go home, Lord, with a greater confidence in our God, knowing that he's able to give us much from little. Be with us throughout this week. Keep us all safe in our travels. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore.